Manx Radio's update with Dave Moore.
It's 5:30. You're listening to Manx Radio. I'm Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus Manx sport, business, sea watch and travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person. Tonight, 83 new cases of COVID-19 reported in the island, including 4 in hospital, with none in intensive care. Coming up, the employment tribunal involving the government's former medical director hears claims that a personal dispute delayed the island's COVID vaccine rollout, plus Douglas Borough Council announces a 3.7% rate hike.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
But first, with the update news headlines, is Christian Jones. Faster Mai.
88 new COVID-19 cases have been recorded in the last 24 hours, bringing the total number of active cases to 643. 4 people who have the virus are in Nobles Hospital, but none are in intensive care. It's been revealed the former Chief Minister Howard Quayle's jointly owned tourism business received more than £57,000 in COVID-19 support. In a statement, the Department of Enterprise is apologising for initially blocking the Freedom of Information request, which saw the island's Information Commissioner overturn their decision. The island's most senior doctor says the former CEO of the health department blamed her for the delay to the vaccine rollout in December 2020. Dr. Rosalind Ranson's been outlining events that led up to the first COVID-19 jabs being administered on the island at her employment tribunal, where she alleges she was unfairly dismissed from her role as medical director. Turning now to international news, the Prime Minister's once again batted away calls to resign over parties held at Downing Street during lockdown. Boris Johnson insisted he's getting on with the job and accused Labour leader Keir Starmer of being relentlessly opportunistic. Meanwhile, the PM's been accused of lying over whether he prioritised the evacuation of animals from Afghanistan over people. Official emails suggest Boris Johnson authorised the move, something Downing Street denies. And fans heading to the Premier League matches won't have to show COVID passports getting into stadiums anymore, but top clubs are still encouraging supporters to take a lateral flow test before going to games. Those are your update news headlines, next at 6.
Man Benham. Contact with us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Dry with variable amounts of cloud, some sunshine and a slowly strengthening southwest wind. Temperatures around 9 degrees Celsius. Outbreaks of light rain or drizzle will arrive later this evening before clearing overnight as the wind turns northwesterly. Sunny intervals, but also a risk of showers tomorrow with a moderate to fresh west-northwest wind and a top temperature of 10 degrees Celsius. Cloudy with outbreaks of rain around the middle of the day on Friday with a fresh to strong southwest wind. Sunset was at 4:47 today, with sunrise at 8:14 tomorrow.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
Here with the latest COVID-19 figures is Christian Jones.
The total number of active cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man has fallen to 643. The latest figures released by the government show 9 people have been identified to have the virus following a positive PCR test, while the remaining 79 have reported positive lateral flow tests. A combined 88 new infections were recorded yesterday. In total, there are 81 active cases as a result of a PCR test and 562 active cases coming from LFTs. 4 people are currently in Nobles Hospital, but none are in intensive care. Meanwhile, students at Castle Russian High School are being told to remain at home due to staff absence. Year 10 is being asked to stay at home tomorrow and Year 9 on Friday.
The island's most senior doctor says the former chief executive of the health department blamed her for the delay to the vaccine rollout in December 2020. Dr. Rosalind Ranson has been outlining events that led up to the first COVID-19 jabs being administered on island at her employment tribunal. Sean Cowper has this report.
The Department of Health and Social Care had hoped to begin the rollout before Christmas 2020, but had to push back the start until the 4th of January after Dr. Ranson refused to sign the necessary paperwork. The DHSC medical director claims then chief executive Catherine Magson insisted she wasn't allowed to take part in meetings about the vaccine rollout, something Ms. Magson disputes in her written statement. However, Dr. Ranson says it later became apparent that, as medical director, she was legally required to sign off a document permitting the rollout to go ahead. She told the hearing she only became involved in the preparations for the rollout on the 18th of December, just 3 days before the department had hoped to administer the first injections, and that paperwork wasn't ready. The PGD, or patient group directions, presented to Dr. Ranson had been adapted from the wording used by Public Health England, but she raised concerns that the changes invalidated the indemnity. An extract from Ms. Magson's statement revealed that she'd described Dr. Ranson's behaviour at a meeting to discuss the PGD as unprofessional, but later apologised to the medical director in an email. However, Dr. Ranson says Ms. Magson humiliated her in front of members of the vaccine group at a meeting which she was asked to attend at short notice. She added that while there were issues with the PGD, she also found that consent forms and other paperwork were not ready, and said the programme was far from ready to be safely delivered. She told the tribunal that while she had a duty to the department, her first duty was to the public and safety. Emails from Ms. Magson showed that she was concerned about the impact the delay would have on public confidence, adding that the media had become suspicious, questioning why the island hadn't started the rollout like other areas in the British Isles. Dr. Ranson alleges that she was unfairly dismissed from her role as medical director, something the DHSC denies.
If you have a news story for Manx Radio to investigate and report, email newsroom@manxradio.com or call 682 631 any time of day or night.
Douglas Borough Council's announced rates in the capital will rise by 3.8%. Local Democracy reporter Sarah Hendy reports.
The rate of 4.68 pence in the pound is an increase of 17 pence from last year, when the council cited loss of income due to the pandemic as the main justification for a 1.6% increase. Lead councillor Claire Wells says while we're still dealing with the effects of the pandemic, inflation is the main culprit.
So I think the inflation last year wasn't as high as it is now. So yes, we are still feeling the effects of the pandemic. And I think that the biggest realisation for us is rising costs in materials, and that is it's quite massive, and I think it's probably taken everybody a bit by surprise how expensive things are now to build. So if you're wanting to put anything together like that, it's going to cost a lot of money. But for us today, it is absolutely the inflation that has just shot up so dramatically over the past 4 months that we then have to try and sort out. And we are very fortunate as a council who they were forward thinking. We were quite comfortable in our reserves, which has got us through the last 2 years. And now we have to look at how we get through, you know, the increased cost of inflation and the building costs, and also the things that, as I said earlier on, we don't have any influence over. We just have to absorb those costs in some way. I think the problem we have is that we've spent the last few years cutting our cloth accordingly, and we really are at the bare bones now of what we do. And if we were to reduce our actual costs anymore, we'd be looking at getting rid of services. And I don't think anybody within the council wants to do that, which is why we were looking at how we change the services to improve the costs in that rather than take them away altogether.
Mm-hmm. A tourism business jointly owned by the former chief minister received more than £57,000 in COVID-19 support. The Department for Enterprise has released details of the money given to Howard Quayle's company after being criticised by the island's Information Commissioner. Tessa Hawley reports.
It follows a Freedom of Information request, which was blocked by the department, which requested details of financial support handed out through coronavirus schemes. Today, the department has apologised, saying it acknowledges there had been failings in the way it processed and determined that request. In a statement, it said the policy principle behind the department's approach remains that it does not regularly disclose the breakdown of payments provided to any individual business under its schemes. This, it says, is based on a determination that publishing such details may be detrimental to the commercial interests of a business and therefore deter applicants from coming forward for eligible support. The original Freedom of Information request had asked for details of any money paid out to the Holiday Cottage business between April 2020 and June 2021. The department said £34,375 paid out up until the 31st of March 2021 had already been declared by Mr. Quayle as part of government's annual accounts. It also confirmed a further £22,750 will be disclosed in this year's accounts. The department has apologised to Mr. Quayle, saying he was not involved in the decision to withhold the information and was not afforded the opportunity to voluntarily disclose it. It adds that the Information Commissioner's ruling has wider implications on the level of disclosure, which the department may need to consider for businesses which received support. In conjunction with the Treasury and other departments which also provided support through the pandemic, the DfE says it will review its policies on declarations. It will also provide a full response to the Information Commissioner.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree is due shortly into Douglas Harbour before leaving for Heysham earlier than usual this evening, with the vessel going at 7:15 and therefore expected to arrive in England at 11 o'clock tonight.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Manx National Heritage historic building architect John Paul Walker says impending changes to the former police station in Castletown can only be positive for residents. The Bailey Scott design building will become a hub for a number of bars, hotels and restaurants.
So this is a partnership between Manx National Heritage and Marlin Spike Properties to carry out conservation works on the building, so repairs, sort of conservation work on that, and also to convert it, as it were, sort of light touch conversion to turn it into a hub for Marlin Spike's cafe, bar, hotel, a hub for that. For their different facilities in Castletown.
Tender was put out a while ago and there were very specific requirements for anyone who wanted to put a case forward. Why was this, in your opinion, the right fit?
I think this it allowed this sort of light touch approach. We didn't want any use going in there which required, you know, drastic changes to the building. It's a very complete example of a Bailey Scott building. So we wanted something which, for both the exterior and the interior, a light touch.
I suppose what I'm trying to get at here is that some may have possibly seen it in terms of being particularly a heritage site for being solely for heritage purposes. So what was the thinking behind why this was the best approach compared to, say, something like that?
Well, I mean, any heritage building has to have a function, has to have a purpose, has to have that needs to be sustainable, as in, when I say sustainable, obviously a term used to mean lots of things, but I mean kind of economically sustainable. So being able to kind of, you know, have a future to fund its own kind of running and repairs, as it were.
It's a building, particularly for those in Castletown, that is quite close to many people's hearts. How do you think residents will take to this new approach for it?
I think it can only be a positive thing, can't it? For quite some time, it's been stood there vacant, you know, all shut up and locked up. You know, that in itself doesn't do any favours to a building.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
Isle of Man based Playtech has slumped amid concerns a takeover bid by Australian gambling group Aristocrat may fall through. It's been reported that bosses were considering a breakup of Playtech if Aristocrat's £2.7 billion offer is blocked by a group of Asian shareholders. Concerns are mounting over a group of investors that hold roughly a quarter of the company's shares. A breakup would lead to the separate disposals of Playtech's business-to-business division and Italian consumer arm Snaitech. It comes a week after another takeover approach led by former Formula One boss Eddie Jordan was abandoned. A £1.9 billion merger between rival bus groups Stagecoach and National Express has been paused while the competition watchdog investigates the deal. The tie-up, which involves an all-share takeover by National Express, was agreed in December. The Competition and Markets Authority served an enforcement order which stops the companies from combining while it considers the plans. The merger would create a combined fleet of around 40,000 vehicles. And food poverty campaigner and chef Jack Munro's claiming victory after Stats Chiefs pledged to revise how they measure the cost of living. Ms. Munro had complained that everyday essentials were going up in price by more than the official inflation rate, hitting poorer people hardest. But she said the official way inflation is calculated failed to reflect this. Earlier today, the UK's Office for National Statistics admitted that one inflation rate doesn't fit all.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher as investors braced themselves for the latest monetary policy announcement from the US Federal Reserve. US stocks gained to shake off some losses after a couple of volatile sessions on Wall Street. And oil rose to around $89 a barrel, supported by tight supply and geopolitical tensions in Europe and the Middle East that raised concerns about further disruption. Gold retreated as the dollar firmed while investors awaited the outcome of the US Federal Reserve's policy meeting with the central bank, widely expected to announce a March interest rate hike. The markets, the FTSE 100 at the close, 7469, that's up 1.33%. The DAX at 15459, that's up 2.22%. The Dow Jones, 34634, that's up 0.98%. And the Nasdaq, 13.831, that's up 2.16%. The exchange rates, the pound against the dollar, 1.351, and against the euro, 1.197. Commodities, gold's at $1,831, that's down 0.88%, and Brent is at $90.14, that's up 2.37%.
Dad!
Hello, son. How's things?
Great. I've been taking your advice.
That's a first.
It's true. I've started investing monthly with Shearwater ESG.
Good for you. But what's ESG?
It's a new option that lets me invest in what I care about, like our planet and sustainability. So I'm not just improving my future, but my kids too.
Maybe I should take your advice.
Make a difference with Shearwater ESG from Ramsay Crookall. For 75 years, the island's investment specialist, offering a wide range of services to make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
The island plan will be brought back to Tynwald at an extraordinary sitting of the court next week. It'll be the Chief Minister's second attempt at getting the document approved by the court. Tessa Hawley reports.
It's surprising that eight members felt they couldn't digest the document in a five-day period, but I have to respect the will of Tynwald and the standing orders that are attached to that. And so we'll have to consider when we bring the island plan back.
That was Alfred Cannon talking to Manx Radio earlier this month, following what some saw as his first defeat on the floor of Tynwald, failing to even debate the five-year vision document. At that time, it had been listed as part of the supplementary order paper, but due to the fact it had missed the deadline for inclusion at the sitting, it required members to vote in favour of suspending standing orders to even debate it. A motion to do that subsequently failed to be supported, with the chief confirming he would have to bring the plan back for a second attempt at a later date. Well, our island plan has now been listed on the Tynwald Register of Business. That follows a request from the chief minister to summon a special sitting of the court where the plan and the latest COVID-19 public health regulations can be considered. Tynwald will now meet next Tuesday, that's the 1st of February, after a routine sitting of the House of Keys. There, Mr. Cannon will place a revised motion in front of members, which asks them to approve the plan, which has the strapline, building a secure, vibrant and sustainable future for our island. The motion does differ to the one he put before the court earlier this month. It simply asks members to approve the plan. Last time, the motion also asked members to note that as a living document, it would be updated over the course of the administration, note the requirement for department plans, and further note the Housing and Communities Board proposed work streams.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Fast am I, Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I, good evening. Dean Harrison recently signed a 2-year deal with the rebranded DAO Racing Team. They were formerly known as Silicon Engineering, and together they won the Senior TT in 2019. As well as racing in the Isle of Man and other road racing events, they also compete in the British Superbike Championship. However, team boss Johnny Wagnall says they have one true goal again this year.
Hopefully going to do a full season of BSB. I can't see why we won't. You know, I think you'll see with Dean's progression through that, he's just moving up and up and getting quicker and quicker each year. And it's obviously helped his road campaign, which is our main focus as a team. We exist purely to go and hopefully win the Isle of Man again.
And the Manx Youth Games remains an important way of giving the next generation of young athletes the chance to try out new sports on Ireland. That's according to one of the key figures behind the event taking place on the 7th of May, which is returning for its 20th year. Training sessions for it are now underway after the Games officially launched on Monday night. The Games coordinator is Gareth Lloyd.
Just to increase the levels of physical activity in young people and increase numbers of young people who are involved in community sport. In 2019, we had to unfortunately cancel, but then last year, with the circuit breakers, training sessions were affected. Hopefully this year, with everything going the way it is, hopefully we can have a full set of training sessions and events.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Let's start with departures from Ronald's Way, and the 6:10 to Liverpool and the 8:00 to Gatwick are both showing on time. As for the arrivals, the Manchester landed a short time ago, with Gatwick due at 7:30 and Liverpool at 8:10. Moving on to the road, starting in Douglas and Empire Terrace and the bottom end of Palace Road remain closed. Harcroft Road is closed at the junction with Bluffton Manor Hill. Temporary lights on King Edward Road between Onken and Groudle. Up to Laxey, the bottom end of Minorca Hill is closed between Glen Road and Lower Cronkorry. Out at Greba, lights in place close to the Highlander St Trinians. Continuing west, and the Canay Road, is closed for resurfacing near St John's, while at West Key Peel there are temporary lights in place. Heading northwest, there are lights on the main road at the Ballera Junction at Kirkmichael. Down south now, and the shoulder road between the Round Table and Snuff the Wind mines is closed, while in Ballasalla, again, traffic's moving freely at the moment, but from 9:15 tomorrow until 3 in the afternoon, temporary lights in place on Station Road close to the Whitestone.
Massimo Tyres. Budget tyres priced to keep your vehicle safe and legal. Only available at Quayside.
The MHK, tasked with tackling the Isle of Man's housing crisis, has confirmed plans to change first-time buyer schemes have been delayed. Chris Thomas is the chair of the Housing and Communities Board. He told the House of Keys this week that alterations, which were due in spring, won't be delivered as quickly as originally planned.
The Department of Infrastructure incorporates the option to revise the maximum annual income categories in the schemes to reflect annual median earnings into the key deliverables and bring the incomes data in line with end 2020 levels. The maximum purchase price of homes in the choice scheme be increased in line with the residential property median house price inflation figures. The Department of Infrastructure consults with the Treasury in relation to adjustment of interest rates in respect of first-time buyer purchases, so as to reduce the likelihood of unaffordability of interest charges in respect of shared equity loans, the frequency and level of lump sum payments by purchasers in respect of paying off shared equity loans is adjusted, thus maximising the flexibility of repaying loans, and the Department of Infrastructure progresses to the Treasury for concurrence to any changes to the scheme which will require additional funding. Proposed changes will be subject to public consultation, will need to be supported by the Treasury and be progressed through changes to the secondary legislation with the subsequent approval of Timwald. Taking the above changes into account and noting the need for consultation, it is estimated by the Department of Infrastructure that the review will be ready for consideration in the final quarter of 2022.
That's all very concerning. There are encouraging words, but in September it was much more encouraging because we actually had the date of the first quarter of the year, whereas it's now slipped 6 months to the last quarter of the year. Is there any way in which we can actually act on this more quickly?
Perhaps there is, and I remember when the Honourable Questioner asked me back in November, he was more pessimistic than I was, and perhaps I've moved to be more towards pessimism rather than optimism.
The Department of Infrastructure wants to keep a landfill facility in the Isle of Man operational until the end of the year, Rob Pritchard reports.
The DOI is looking for planning permission to extend the use of Wright's Pit North until the 31st of December this year. As part of the proposals, the department is also seeking an extra year past that end date to complete the restoration scheme there by the 31st of December 2023. A planning application previously approved asked for waste to stop being deposited there by the 31st of December 2019. Following that, restoration works would be finished on the same date the following year. However, in its latest plans, the DOI says since those previous proposals were given the green light, inputs at the site have been lower and voids still remain. It now wants retrospective and ongoing approval to keep the site going to offer a facility for construction and demolition waste. If approved, input rates and waste types allowed to be deposited at the site would remain unchanged. FC Isle of Man find themselves on a four-game winning streak, and the latest side looking to spoil the party heads to Manx Shores this weekend. Barnton are the latest to take on the Ravens at the Bowl this Saturday, and the visitors travel to the island on the back of a big win last weekend. Join me, Rob Pritchard, for full live commentary of FC Isle of Man versus Barnton from 6:30 p.m. on Saturday. We'll be bringing you the entire 90 minutes on Manx Radio's AM 1368 and digital platforms.
Well, that's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones and producer Tessa Hawley. If you have a comment on the news agenda, a story you think we should be covering, or just want to say hello from near or far, email update@manxradio.com. And don't forget the stories you've heard on this update and much more Manx news, plus interviews and podcasts and the web's biggest source of Manx videos are all at manxradio.com and via the free Manx Radio app. So don't forget, like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. That's it from Update from today. I'll be back at 5:30 again tomorrow. Have a good evening.